Welcome to the Central to the Arts, your gateway to the vibrant world of creativity and innovation, brought to you by the University of Memphis, spotlighting the immense talent and passion of U of M students, alumni, faculty, and friends. From the heart of our hometown to the global stage, we celebrate the diverse voices and impactful contributions made by the U of M.
Welcome to the Central to the Arts Hour, your weekly deep dive into the vibrant world of arts and culture, brought to you by the University of Memphis College of Communication and Fine Arts. I'm your host, Ryan Fisher, and today we have a very special guest joining us, the new mayor of Memphis, Paul Young. Mayor Paul Young is a passionate advocate for the arts and has been a key figure in the cultural development of Memphis for many years. With a background in urban planning and community development, Mayor Young brings a unique perspective to the intersection of arts and governance. Well, welcome to our Central of the Arts Hour, Mayor Young. Thank you so much for being here.
Honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Well, we're actually airing this right now live on the campus of the University of Memphis.
Okay.
I'm kind of curious, how often did you get around to the University of Memphis during your time here in Memphis?
Well, you know, I went to graduate school here twice. So I have a master's in planning from here, as well as an MBA in real estate and finance. And so I came a lot during those years. When I was in high school, I didn't come as much, but certainly it always has a presence in my life just because we love Memphis basketball.
That's right. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Well, you are coming up on finishing your first 5 months in office. So, you know, from your perspective, tell us how you think the first 5 months have been and how have you grown as a mayor?
It's been amazing. I wake up every day just honored that I have the opportunity to serve as the 65th mayor of the city that I love, the city that made me. And, you know, these first 5 months have been great. It's been a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, what I had to get used to is just the constant energy of city government, the constant attention, you know, but overall, I think it's been good. And I feel like I've grown exponentially over the last couple of months. I mean, I'm learning how to better articulate messages and, you know, trying to talk about complex things in simple ways so that the public understands the why on some of the things that we're doing. And the messages don't always break through. I'm getting better at finding the ways to get the messages to resonate.
Yeah, something I've noticed about your public speaking is that you want to be really clear. You don't want to talk over people's heads. And you seem to be want to be quite transparent,
right,
in what your intentions are for the city, whereas it's not always been the case for someone in your
office.
Yeah,
well, you know, for me, I think that people in our city just want to connect with their leader. They want to know that their leader is listening, that they are, you know, have a heart for this community. And so I try to give as many unscripted speeches as possible.
No teleprompter.
Wow. Now, I mean, I will take notes if I'm giving a full-fledged speech, but I prefer to actually do Q&A because that's always more organic, and I think people feel like you're actually answering them as opposed to, you know, thinking about what you wanted to tell them and, you know, walking away. And I think it gives me an opportunity to get the pulse of the community in a better way.
Well, you're a product of the city of Memphis. So tell us a little bit about how your connection to the arts really throughout your life here in Memphis.
For me, I mean, art has always been around us if you're from Memphis, because we're a music city. There's so much soul and energy in our community. And, you know, for me, I grew up in the church. I'm the son of two Baptist preachers. And so music was always in my home, always around me, mostly gospel as I was younger. When I got old enough to pick the music I wanted, I listened to a lot of 90s R&B and hip hop and just came up in that era. And I just loved it. It's amazing how a song can take you back to a moment. You can like remember exactly what car you were driving, the things that were going on just when you hear a tune. And so, you know, music to me is just something that It's a connector. I think it's something that is special in our city. And obviously, all of the other arts, visual arts, the dancing, juking, watching people doing. I'm growing up at East High School. We form circles, and you see people juking in the hallways and at parties. You know, the arts in Memphis is just something that's embedded in us. And we experience it whether you even know that's what you're experiencing or not. And I think it's just something cool and unique about our community.
So walk us through your childhood. What were your first encounters actually as an artist or learning about the arts through music or visual art or whatever?
So for me, I definitely was not the artist. You know, I sang in the choir at church, and, you know, my parents would make me lead solos. I had to lead this song, Jesus is the Center of My Joy. And I was like 10, 11 years old. And my little brother, he makes fun of me to this day because he talks about how bad I sounded. So I quickly learned that, you know, I wasn't necessarily the artist. I'm an appreciator of the arts.
No, I think it's about song selection.
I don't think
you started out with the best debut as a vocalist. You know, maybe something a little more simple.
Yeah. Jesus loves me.
That would have been a better
one for me.
You're raising kids in the city of Memphis. Yeah. So what's been their interaction with the arts?
My kids are 13 and 8, about to be 9, and I think they're more like me. They play a lot of sports, but I don't know if they have the dancing talent or they do a lot of TikTok stuff. They're not on TikTok, but they watch it, and they definitely hadn't shown me any singing just yet. But they might, but they certainly appreciate it because they're riding around in the car with Daddy all the time, and they hear all the music I listen to, the clean versions,
right? Only the clean
and the gospel music,
the Disney scrubbed version,
right. And then my daughter, she makes her own playlists on Spotify, and so she's definitely getting into.
Does she share her playlists? Do you share a subscription? This is a thing that I go over with my kids,
and
they're like, no, I don't want you to mess up my playlist.
Unfortunately, she's on my Spotify.
Oh, okay.
So when I'm listening, she cuts me off.
So does that mean that they love 90s R&B too?
They do.
Are you training them right?
I am. They do.
So on this show, as you know, because we asked you for kind of a playlist before, we ask each of our guests to curate their own playlist, which kind of shares their own story or their own life journey. You have an interesting playlist that I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
So why don't you set up the first song that you've selected and tell us why this one?
The first song is Adore by Prince. And I think this song is just representative of the relationship I have with my wife. And this was the song that we did our first dance to.
Okay.
And it's just an amazing track. I mean, it's Prince. So
let's take a listen.
Was I the best? Was I your everything to see? That's why I want you to be the end of time. I'll be there for you.
You would just listen to Adore by Prince. So you are a unique mayor in the fact that when you ran for mayor, you clearly stated in your platform a focus, a priority on arts and culture.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why, and maybe talk to me about how you're starting to implement some of those ideas that you had dreamed about or wanted to do in your platform.
Yeah, I thought it was important for me to articulate in the platform, you know, at a time when we talk about public safety a lot. I mean, it's top of mind for everyone, and we want safety. I really believe that in order for Memphis to really maximize its potential, that we have to lean into the things that make us strong. We address our weaknesses, public safety, but we lean into the things that make us strong in order to really reclaim the narrative. And arts and culture is a space where we excel. We always have. And I think it's important for local government to fully appreciate it and to view the arts and culture as a means of economic development, as a means of growing the economy. Because if you look at the cities that have thrived over the last 15, 20 years, the arts and culture was a part of the recipe. Young people, there's this national battle for talent that cities have. Like, you wanna recruit the best and brightest to your communities. Young people make decisions on where they wanna live just solely based on, is it a cool place to be? Even less than in the past, people aren't even determining if they have a job there before they go. They just say, I want to be in this city because I like it. I'm about to go, and I'll find a job when I get there. And Memphis has the cool factor. It's the thing that we should be playing up. We need the rest of the world to know who we are. And our arts, that's our billboard for the city. Our hip-hop artists that are out there, you know, they are the ones that are putting a shining light on our city. The folks that are, you know, like, I think of people like Ladia Yates that are doing all of the cool dancing and viral videos. And the world is looking at Memphis through the lens of our artists. And I think that there's much more that we can do from a city perspective to curate it even more.
So you had assigned some specific people on your transition team.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rachel Knox was our
Rachel.
Representative, and Rachel's amazing.
She is amazing.
So what has now been formalized as an actual position, committee, whatever, within your government?
Yeah, so one of the biggest recommendations from the Arts and Culture Committee was to form an Office of Arts and Culture within the mayor's office. And so we are working to get that office established. We have some grant funding that's going to allow us to pay for the positions over the next couple of years, and we're in the process of, you know, doing job descriptions with a goal of being able to have someone starting July 1. And so I'm really excited about that. I think about, and people say, well, what is that person going to do? That person and people, because there will probably likely be multiple, they are going to work with all of the different arts organizations and make sure that the city is doing all the things that it can to support where those artists need to go. They're going to work with the restaurateurs and those that curate nightlife in the community, because that is a part of the culture of our city. Mm-hmm. When people, tourists come to our community, they want to know where are the places that I can go that the locals love and appreciate. Right. And so we're going to have a much greater focus on making sure that we are doing all that we can to curate more.
So is the office going to be funded? Because, you know, the county mayor created kind of mm-hmm. a similar type position,
yeah.
and they're wonderful people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a part of the Memphis Cultural Coalition, the University
right.
of Memphis CCFA
right.
is,
mm-hmm.
and we have these meetings, and they're always in the meetings, and they have a great festival that they run.
Right.
But no nonprofit arts organization can currently go to them and say, hey, can you help fund this project or help us with the organization? We still primarily go through Arts Memphis, which is
right.
a godsend to
yeah,
this city.
Absolutely.
Our arts and cultural organizations would not be here. Probably they would have not survived without the help of Arts Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So how is the city of Memphis going to kind of get in that business to also be a help, not just to cheerlead for us, but to also maybe help provide and resources?
Yeah, well, I think the first year is likely going to be more of the collaboration, coordination, cheerleading, as you said, and making sure that we understand what the needs are. And then in the following budget season, which comes up, you know, early part of next year, we'll be able to identify what resources are needed to support what the organizations are looking to do. Because obviously we're going through budget season right now. It's a tough one. You know, people know that I'm proposing a tax increase.
Yeah, I think I've heard something about a tax increase.
Sure you have. Yeah, sure you have. But, you know, given all of the constraints we have right now, I don't know that we will have the dollars allocated for funding for the arts organizations, at least not yet.
Okay. Let's continue on in this musical journey
yeah,
of your life.
Go.
Gospel is an essential part of the city of Memphis.
Absolutely.
If it's not known nationally as a gospel hub, I think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people maybe just don't know the impact and the contribution that it's made
yeah.
just to the genre itself. So set up the next song and tell us why this song is so meaningful to you.
Yeah, this song is one that is important to me. It's one that I heard, I don't know how the period of time, but it felt like every day of my life for like 5 or 6 years, my dad would play this waking up. And, you know, as you get older, you just appreciate those old gospel hymns so much more because, you know, there's so much meaning in the words. And when you're going through hard times, this song is really one that like gets me through. And so the song is My Soul Has Been Anchored in the Lord by Douglas Miller.
Oh, the storms keep on raging in my life. And sometimes it's hard to tell. That a hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know He'll keep me safe. to tell the night from day. Still that hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know He'll lead me safely to that blessed place He has prepared. But if the storm don't cease, and if the winds keep on the waves and the currents that seem so fierce, but in the word of God I've got an anchor, and it keeps me steadfast and unmovable despite the tide. But if the storms don't cease, and just in case the winds, they keep on blowing in my life, my soul been anchored here in the Lord, in the Lord.
That's a classic.
Oh, yeah, man, that's amazing.
So talk to me a little bit about the role that the church played in you and how it kind of informed you as becoming a leader. You talk about your parents, so
yeah.
You were a PK, is
I'm
what
PK,
I guess what
yeah.
say. And how did that then inform your journey of leadership?
I mean, my faith journey has been everything. I mean, I think that, well, I know that I would not be in this role, but for the journey that I've had through the church and just faith in general. I often tell the story of how I even made the decision to get on this path. It started at church. Mm-hmm. I went to UT. Don't hate me. I went to UT Knox for undergrad, and I had this degree in electrical engineering. And I came back home, and I couldn't find the job that I wanted. I had all of my fraternity brothers and brother Kappa Alpha Psi. They had gone to all these different places across the country. I was substitute teaching, working in retail. And I couldn't figure out like what my path was going to be. And I didn't feel like engineering was it. And so I was in church this Sunday morning, and my mom was preaching. And, you know, I would always kind of sit in the back and, you know, 22, 23, just kind of chill. And, you know, this Sunday, for some reason, when she started preaching, I just perked up. And so she was, the title of her sermon was called The Purpose-Driven Life. Mm-hmm. And she said that God's purpose for your life will never be about you. God's purpose for your life will always be about someone else. And so it was like it clicked for me. And I looked around Oak Haven, which is where I grew up and where I was living at the time, and saw how the neighborhood had declined from the time that I was born to where we were then. And I decided that I wanted to rebuild neighborhoods in Memphis. And I enrolled in city and regional planning literally that week at the University of Memphis for grad school. And I found my path. And that path led me to saying, you know, the best way for me to exercise my vision of rebuilding the city after a number of jobs is the mayor's office. Like, I never wanted to be a politician. I wanted to just change the community and change the city. But this was the path for me to be able to do it. And threw caution to the wind and just went for it.
Well, so much of what everyone knows as Memphis music or the Memphis sound really is rooted in the church.
Oh, no question.
And so just kind of pivoting on to that. So there's a lot of kind of frustration by young musicians in the city of Memphis. Yeah. Our own faculty are teaching them in music industry. Incredible Professor Jeff Coran is working with students, and he's trying to do everything he can to develop them, cultivate them so that they will stay in the city of Memphis and help rebuild this kind of music empire instead of us only relying on our great history.
Right.
So how do you view your role as mayor in obviously celebrating our past, Memphis music, making sure people know Stax and Sun and how we influenced all of music across the world, while also infusing resources, support to try to rebuild a new music industry here so our folks aren't running to LA, running to Atlanta, running to Nashville? How can the mayor's office help with that?
I think the mayor has to be intentional and has to be a partner to the musicians and the people that know. I don't work in the music industry, but I understand how important it is. And, you know, I it's hard for me to fathom Memphis without music. And we do a lot to rely on the history of music and, you know, what it's meant to our city in the past, but we oftentimes overlook the music of now, the artists of now. And even our artists that have big names, I know the hip hop ones, I'm sure there are others, but, you know, you think about Yo Gotti, Moneybagg, Yo, Dolph when he was alive, Glorilla, all of these, I think NLE still lives here, but a lot of them live in other places. And in order for them to realize their dreams and their vision, they leave this city. And I want them to be able to exercise their dream to achieve their vision right here in Memphis. And we have to have an ecosystem that supports it. It's not just the artist. It's all the things around the artist. It's the connections to capital, to get the money to be able to, you know, get in the studio and do those things. And so we have to cultivate that. Atlanta has done it. Nashville has done it. And we can do it, too.
Yeah. And hopefully U of M can be a partner.
U of M will definitely be a partner in it, because you are helping to train up many of those artists.
So before we started the interview, I was mentioning that you probably are the first mayor that would publicly embrace and talk about your love of hip-hop, rap, R&B. Yeah. So set up the third song. Yeah. And so why is this particular piece something that's so impactful on your journey?
Well, when I thought about all of the songs that I think impact me, I think about hip-hop and my love for it. And my love for hip-hop is not so much about the content. I get it. I mean, we just finished talking about all the gospel love that I have for God and the faith journey. And so hip-hop doesn't always articulate those things. But the beauty of hip-hop is, I think, is if you are a good artist, if you are, I think of it as poetry and hip-hop at its best. And so this next song is one of who I believe is the greatest rapper of all time.
Okay.
And that's Nas. I mean, because he is he's a poet. And this song, The World Is Yours, was on his first album. And so this is early 90s, gritty New York feel. And I just think it's the epitome of hip-hop. And so that's it. The World Is Yours by Nas.
It's yours. Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this? It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose
I sip the dumb peak, watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes. All the words past the margin. The whole of mic, I'm throbbing. Mechanical movement, understandable smoke that murderers move with. The thief's theme. The play theme. Me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip hop has got me stuck like a crack pipe. The mind activation, react like I'm facing time like Pappy Mason. With pins, I'm embracing, wipe the sweat off my dome, spit the phlegm on the streets. Suede Tim's on my beats, makes my cypher complete. Weather cruising in a six cab, a Montero Jeep, I can't call it. The beats make me falling asleep, I keep falling. We're never falling 6 feet deep. I'm out for presidents to represent me.
Say what?
I'm out for presidents to represent me.
Say what?
I'm out for dead presidents to represent me.
Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this?
It's yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine.
To my man Ill Will, God bless your life. To my peoples throughout Queens, God bless your life. I trick we boxing crazy. Aiming guns and all my baby pictures. Beef with housing police, release scriptures that's maybe Hitler's. Yet I'm the mal, money getting style, rolling foul. The versatile honey sticking wild, golden child dwelling in the rotten apple. You get tackled, a caught by the devil's lasso. There's no days for broke days when selling smoke pays. While all the old folks pray to Jesus, soaking their sins in trays. A holy water, odds against nods and slaughter. Finger the word best describing my life. To name my daughter my strength. My son the star will be my resurrection. Born in correction, all the wrong shit I did. He'll lead in right direction. How you living large or broke or charge cards are mediocre. You're flipping coca, playing spit spades and strip poker.
It's yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this?
The world is yours, the world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, whose world is this?
It's yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, whose world is this?
Yo, the world is yours, the world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, whose world is this?
City bandit, hold myself down single-handed. For murder raps, I kick my thoughts alone. Get remanded, born alone, die alone. No crew to keep my crown a throne. I'm deep, I sound alone. Cave inside 1,000 miles from home. I need a new for this black cloud to follow. Cause while it's over me, it's too dark to see tomorrow. Trying to maintain, I flip, feel the clip to the tip. Picturing my peeps, not eating, can make my heartbeat skip. And I'm amped up, they like to champ up. Even my brain's in handcuffs, headed for Indiana's. Women like the Phantom, the crew is lamping Big Willie style. Check the chip to check smell, chip to plus smell. I profile wow. Stash through the flock holes, burning dollars to light my stove. Walk the blocks with a bop. Checking Danes plus the games people play. Bust the problems of the world today.
It's yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this? It's mine, it's mine, yeah.
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, whose world is this?
It's yours.
Yeah, alright. To everybody in Queens, the foundation.
That was The World Is Yours by Nas. So we talked a little bit about the role U of M can play. So how do you view University of Memphis and its impact on the city of Memphis, what it can contribute, what you hope that you as a partner and ally will be able to accomplish with us? But more specifically, what can the College of Communication and Fine Arts, where we are training up the next generation of entrepreneurs and artists and creatives, how can they help you and how can they help the city of Memphis?
Well, I think this is our pipeline. I mean, the University of Memphis is the pipeline for us to continue to train up talent and build that ecosystem. I want Memphis to be the epicenter of You know, if you want to be an artist and you want to learn the ropes, you want to know how to do the boards, you want to know how to handle the business side, we want this university to be the one that is training up those aspiring leaders in this space. And so I want to be a partner to the university. I want the university to tell us at the city what we can do, because oftentimes we just don't know. I mean, I'm a community development guy. Whoever we hire for the arts and culture role, they're certainly going to be more astute than me, and they're going to help tell us what we need to be doing, but we need your voices at the table. We need the voices of your students at the table, because they are the ones that are really the next generation. And, you know, as I'm talking about music a lot, but I don't just mean music. I mean, I'm talking about all of the arts, the visual artists, the actors, the dancers, the ones who are going to handle the business behind the scenes that make it possible for our city to be able to be that place where producers from across the country, where movie directors across the country, they want to shoot their movies right here in Memphis. And it's going to happen because of that cool factor that I talked about earlier. Like, Memphis is an iconic place, and it's a great backdrop for any movie that you want to do, any music that you want to produce. And so I just want that messaging to continue to resonate, not just in Memphis, but across the world.
I'm kind of curious about your thoughts and maybe how you think the mayor's office could help change this narrative. But, you know, there's a growing trend across all universities, especially public universities, to show the return on investment of their majors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our arts majors, folks are not getting into those majors because they want to be millionaires.
Right.
They're getting into it because that is where their passion is, that is where their talent is, and for the most part, most folks are just wanting to be in it for the love of it, for right. the product, for what energizes them. In essence, it is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we would all agree that even though the city of Memphis is a town of arts and culture, it is not a thriving livelihood.
Right.
So a person who graduates with a BFA in theater, they're not going to get picked up and discovered and be on the next Marvel movie, or right. they're going to get on Broadway. Many of them are going to be working at, not even working, they're going to be on the stage at Theater Memphis, which is a phenomenal
right.
Organization, but it's not a professional company.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be getting things on their resume builders, but they're going to be drawing $0.
Yeah.
And so if someone is then looking at, well, this is your salary after year two of with that BFA in theater, and that's how much it costs you. So how can we change that narrative? How can the city of Memphis start showing that arts and culture and these artists, these employees are worth investing in, because they do bring so much in economic impact and recovery of cost and revenue coming into this city?
Yeah, that's a tough question and very in-depth. But I would say that, you know, part of the reason that I talked about building up an ecosystem is because within that ecosystem, there are so many opportunities to earn a good living. If you have a thriving business sector around the arts, then even if you started off as the artist and you know you wanted to be Beyonce or whoever the biggest artist is, there's a point at which you say, all right, well, I'm going to shift from being the artist to being the producer, or to being the manager, or to being the finance person, or, you know, all of these other professional roles that are within the music business or in the arts business. And I think that we have to be able to articulate those paths. I also think that we can quantify the economic impact of the arts as a whole in our city. I mean, I even think about restaurateurs, chefs, cuisines, like that's part of the arts and culture of our city. And so how much does that draw in tourism? How much does Beale Street impact our economy locally? And how are those artists being paid. And, you know, that was something we did when I was at Downtown Memphis Commission, was we worked to make sure that if we were booking acts, that we were going to elevate the amount of money that we were paying each artist. So we were saying at a minimum, each artist should get at least $250 per gig. And this is that's the baseline, the floor that we were trying to establish, because we heard of artists that were getting $50 a night or you know, some dollars that weren't really equivalent to their economic impact for our city and for those businesses. And so for me, I think as mayor, my goal is to just keep my foot on the gas, be a listener, and also, you know, articulate and use my platform. That's one of the benefits of being in the mayor's office, is that, you know, I mentioned the constant attention earlier, but it's a pretty big platform where, you know, you can say messages and it shifts the way things are happening in your city. It shifts the way people make investments. And so I feel like being an ambassador for the arts can have an impact on how the world views our city.
Well, I don't want to run out of time because we still have two more songs. Oh, yeah. So this next one is a classic.
Classic, yeah, for sure.
You can't talk about rap without talking about Eminem, right?
Yeah.
So set this one up.
Yeah, so I was a huge Eminem fan in his prime, you know, from that first album up to, you know, probably 2004, 2005, after 8 Mile. But this song, which came from the 8 Mile soundtrack, was a song I played at every debate. Like right before every debate that I would have on the campaign, I had to go sit in the car. My wife knew, like, just leave him alone before this debate, because he got to get his mind right. And the song is Lose Yourself. And the spirit of the song, it doesn't matter what you're doing. He was doing it in the form of battle rap and talking about having to get on the stage and perform, and, you know, this being his only shot to get it right. But it applies to so much across the board. Like, everybody has these moments where you got to rise to the occasion, and this song is just about that and triumphing over that moment. And so I think it's just a great articulation of you know, how we as individuals can step up to the plate, even if you're scared and nervous, but you overcome that moment just by pulling it out of yourself.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment that you captured, just let it slip. Yo. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already, mom's spaghetti. He's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow. Snap back to reality, oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes rabbit, he choked. He's so mad, but he won't give up. No, he won't have it, he knows. His whole back to these ropes, it don't matter, he's dope. He knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows. When he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody, better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose his health in the music, the moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose his health in the music, the moment you own it. Shot, do not miss.
what you call rage. Tear this and roof off like two dogs' cage. I was playing in the beginning, the mood all changed. I've been chewed up and spit out and moved off stage. But I kept rhyming and stepped right in the next cipher. Best believe somebody's paying the Pied Piper. All the pain inside amplified by the fact that I can't get by with my 9 to 5. And I can't provide the right type of life for my family. Cause man, these food stamps don't buy diapers. And it's no movie, there's no Mekhi Phifer. This is my life and these times are so hard. And it's getting even harder trying to feed and water my seed. Plus, see the daughter caught up between being a father and a prima donna. Baby mama drama screaming on her too much for me to want to stay in one spot. Another damn monotony's gotten me to the point I'm like a snail. I've got to formulate a plot or end up in jail or shot. Success is my only option, failure's not. Mama love you, but this trail has got to go. I cannot grow old in Salem's lot. So here I go, it's my shot. Feet fail me not. This may be the only opportunity that I got. You better lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity grows once in a lifetime. You better lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity grows once in a lifetime. You better.
That was Lose Yourself by Eminem. So you brought up the campaign. Do you remember how many debates, forums that you attended?
I know that the number is at least 40, but I don't know. I mean, that last 2 weeks, I think we had like 18. I mean, it was crazy. So, you know, it was an interesting race because it was the first time that we had a non-incumbent election in 52 years.
Oh, really? I hadn't even
so
thought about that.
That made a significant difference. It was because we put in term limits, and those term limits meant that we knew at the end of Jim Strickland's term that he couldn't run. And so there were 17 people that stepped up, and, you know, I was one of the lesser-known candidates, at least at the beginning. And I knew that for me it was going to take hard work. And I told everybody at the beginning, I was like, y'all, that more people know y'all, but I'm going to outwork you. None of y'all going to outwork me. And I kept saying it, and it would make them frustrated. But I was showing and proving. And that's why I showed up to, I think I only missed one debate, and that's because I was out of town with my kids. But other than that, I went to every single one.
Well, that was my point, because I kept looking at debates, watching coverage of it. I attended, you know, a forum.
Yeah.
And I'm looking and counting the people on the stage. And the one recurring name who was always on a stage was Paul Young.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a particular person who didn't attend any of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I just kind of thought, well, he is earning his spot just by simply showing
right.
up.
That's
so maybe that helps you set up your final song on this.
Yeah, yeah. So the last song that I have, obviously we got to show some hometown love, A-Ball and MJG. I love A-Ball and MJG. I just saw him at River Beat Festival, had a good conversation with him. And they're just pillars of Memphis hip hop. And this song was on, man, I'm forgetting, the In My Lifetime album, and it was Paid Dues. And in this song, they just talked about their grind and how they came up. And it's just Memphis to the core. And we're talking about music and we're talking about arts. And, you know, they talked about doing talent shows and mixtapes. And at the end of the day, they paid their dues and they made it to where they were just by working hard. And I think it's a testament to whatever field you're in. You got to put in your 10,000 hours. You got to put in those hours to make sure that you're honing your craft, and they did it. So there you go.
Choices I had to fight. My mom and dad were too young to raise. I paid.
In the middle of doing crime, it never stopped me from writing rhymes. It never stopped me from playing music. God put it in me, I had to use it. It was obvious, I had to give up the streets for the beats. Not knowing, but having faith on just how long that it would be before I made it. Before somebody picked up my tape and played it with a remark like, hey, play that instrumental, the cat's got potential. In the process of doing talent shows, parties, and mixtapes, we even put it down on some of our homeboys' chair release dates. I can remember in the past closing down at fast food, strictly sticking to my dreams, but feeling like I'd be the last dude who could make it in this rap. I thought that they ain't gonna see me in Memphis. It was like a time they looked over Tennessee and didn't know hip hop was in it. To all my vets in the game, I got love. Stay on your toes. Cause back in the days, I used to use your 4-5 instrumentals to do my show. And look, I was 17 when I signed my first contract. And about 18 and a half when I signed my worst contract. We heard from that. And to this day, they still the strip. Our first tape before coming out hard. Now can you feel it? Be humble and patient with whatever you should choose. Cause to get to where I am right now, I done paid my dues.
It's a skinny line between wrong and right. Trapped in the trap till the morning light. Ghetto ain't left me no choices, I had to fight. My mom and dad were too young to raise me right. Maybe I've been made a man for all the mistakes I made. Till then, dead and long, I still ain't afraid. Ain't too grown to get back on the ghetto games I played. My life would have been done, got cut off if the dues weren't paid.
For a concert, I know that sounds preposterous. Fool, we didn't have a pot for piss, so we got on stage and we rocked for this. Forget the cheese, I love to see my folks in the front row get buck wild, start a fight. The police come in and stop the show. Cats all in the parking lot, buzzing. Box Chevy with the truths and foes. Players didn't know nothing about a 20-inch Momo. Hard head, young cat, not believing that till I'm seeing that. See them heavyweight cats, one day I'm gonna be like that. Okay, everybody know everybody done sold cheese. Ran with the gang, hit the strip and had to pull and squeeze. But I'm space agent and will forever be A Ball, the Fat Mac and MJ Pimp and G. Turn the page from then to now and we still grinding. Small clubs and small towns, if they bounce and we find them, put them on the guest list, make them pump their fists and get bucked to this. Make one of them hey chief and gangsta girls get wet to this. Expand, give all my true fans what they demand. Do my part again and come out hard again and keep space aging and will forever be A Ball, the Fat Mac and MJ Pimp and G.
It's a skinny line between wrong and right. Trapped in the trap till the morning light. Ghetto ain't left me no choices, I had to fight. My mom and dad were too young to raise me right. Maybe I've been made a man with all the mistakes I made. Till then, dead and gone, I still ain't.
That was Paid Dues by 8-Ball and MJG. So as we wrap up today's show, Mr. Mayor, I wonder if you could share three words that you hope residents of Memphis will say about our city at the end of your first term.
Vibrant, growing, safe.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
We wish you nothing but the best, nothing but success, and your success is success for the city of Memphis. So thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you. Had a great time.
Well, thank you again, Mayor Young, for joining us today and sharing your insights on the importance of the arts in our city. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to Central to the Arts Hour. Join us next time for another engaging discussion on all things arts and culture.
Now the President's Perspective with University of Memphis President Bill Hargrave.
Today I have with me Dr. Rick Bloomer, who is the Dean of the College of Health Sciences. Rick, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you have been here about 20 years now, right? Started as just a toddler in academic terms, right?
That's right. Came in about 20 years ago as an assistant professor and then moved up through the ranks as would be typical, associate professor, full professor. I was a department chair, director of a school, and now for about the last 5 years, dean of our College of Health Sciences.
We're glad to have you. Tell us a little bit about the College of Health Sciences. You know, what are the major programs? How large is the college?
Yeah, we serve about 1,600 students, and they major in 6 different academic disciplines. So we have health sciences, that's our largest program, exercise, sport and movement sciences, dietetics, healthcare leadership, which is more of a health administration degree, physical education, teacher education, and then sport coaching, which is our newest program. And we also have 7 master's programs and 2 PhD programs, as well as a grad certificate in sport nutrition and dietary supplementation.
And you've got an exciting new program, right, that's coming soon?
We do. Yeah. So it'll be about 2 years out. Fall of 2026, we'll be starting our Doctor of Physical Therapy program at the Lambeth campus in Jackson, Tennessee. Really excited about that. We hired a fantastic director, Dr. Jackie Bradford. We have 2 other open lines right now that we plan to hire this summer.
That is exciting. And, you know, we can't wait to get that program started. I know that's a great addition for the college. Well, in addition to being a dean of a great college, you're also world-renowned for, in your own right, for the research you do. Very briefly, tell us about your research. What do you do?
During my PhD training, I was trained specifically on oxidative stress, which is essentially a condition wherein the production of these prooxidants or free radicals overwhelms the body's antioxidant defense system. So through that process, we did a lot of work with antioxidants, which many people know as different sorts of dietary supplements. And over the past about 15 years, I've really focused heavily on the study of isolated nutrients, or what we might call nutraceuticals, which is a combination of nutrient and pharmaceutical. Nutrients, when they're intensified, they have a drug-like effect, and dietary supplements. So we've had industry sponsorship now for literally about 20 years on an ongoing basis with companies, both domestic and international, to study the role of these dietary supplements on various aspects of human health as well as safety.
Wow, that's fantastic. All the work that you're doing and also leading a great college. Thanks for all that you're doing for us. Dr. Rick Bloomer in the College of Health Sciences, certainly changing lives every day. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.